Elliott. Lovely ball. Trent's free in the box. First time cross. And a goal! Darwin Núñez has done the business. He scored late on. Darwin Núñez for Liverpool. Brilliant by Trent Alexander-Arnold. The Liverpool team go wild. Absolutely wild. What a moment. The breakthrough. Great play by Salah. Now Chiesa. Liverpool are in here. It's Harvey Elliott, edge of the area. Elliott, Núñez again. Núñez buries it. Get in there. Darwin Núñez again. He's on fire, the Uruguayan. The celebrations are incredible. The subs make a difference again. Harvey Elliott this time with the assist. Liverpool extend their lead at the top of the Premier League. Darwin Núñez, the absolute hero, coming off the bench. All the subs played a part. For so long, the crossbar, Flecken saves, shots were going wide, the corners were mounting up, 16, 35 shots at goal. Brentford defended as though their lives depended on it. Brentford were magnificently organised at the back, we have to say that. For so long, we were frustrated. But Arne Slot brings on Darwin Núñez and he does the business with two goals. Fantastic by Trent Alexander-Arnold in the box. He got the ball back. Give it to Darwin. Great finish right at the end. Incredible, exuberant celebrations in the travelling cup. And then Núñez scored again. Chiesa and Elliott, the two subs, set it up. Great finish. Darwin Núñez, you beauty, the super sub. Brentford 0, Liverpool 2.
Steve Hunter summing up an incredible afternoon for Darwin Núñez. A brace for him off the bench, both coming in stoppage time as Liverpool ran out 2-0 winners over Brentford in the Premier League. I'm Becky Davis and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, Arne Slot and Harvey Elliott too give us their thoughts on the victory. I was also joined by former Reds Sammy Lee and Neil Mellor, as well as our fan panel too. Si Steers, Dan Morgan and Avinash Giridhar, who joined us remotely for LFC TV's post-match show. Now, before we hear from our guests in the studio, Mark Benstead was pitch side at the G-Tech and he caught up with Nigel Spatman for his thoughts on the dramatic victory.
Thank you, Becky. Things are just starting to calm down at the Liverpool end. It's just finished emptying out. That was the scene of those incredible celebrations from Darwin Núñez, where he rewrote the script for this match. It looked Spackers as if it was drifting away from us. This place was getting up. The home fans were really vociferous in the closing days. It actually looked like Brentford might nick something. And it looked like this would be a big, big problem for Liverpool. Dropping points. Then that man steps up and delivers.
Absolutely. And that's what he, coming off the bench, you're supposed to do. Make an impact. We were talking about missing Jota before the game. Someone else has got to step up. Darwin's been suspended for the last game. Comes off the bench. Right place at the right time. And I think two goals. The first one in the six-yard box gets that striker's instinct to get in the right place, put it in the back of the net, and then this place erupted. All the Liverpool supporters over there erupted. We were doing that here. And then Brentford obviously chasing it. And then we a lovely ball from Elliott just across, and Darwin takes a touch and smashes it in the roof of the net for 2-0. But it was a really good game, open game. But I think we were talking before the game saying what a difficult place this is to come. They have a great home record, not kept a clean sheet. It looked like it was going to be a 0-0. And then suddenly we stepped it up a pace or two and got the vital 3 points. This is a massive, massive win today, Mark. And I was saying that before the game. We need to show everybody else that we're back in business, that dropping a couple of points doesn't matter. They're trying to pile the pressure on us. Now all that pressure goes on Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea over the next few days.
What can that moment do for Darwin? It's not the first time he's delivered like this. It's got shades of Newcastle away at the beginning of last season. He comes on, scores a couple of goals, wins that game. Such a popular figure. Everyone wants him to do well, but sometimes it doesn't quite work. But you saw what that meant to him. You saw the confidence it gave him for the second goal.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the first goal is so important. 0-0, it could have gone either way. And suddenly he gets in the right place across the six-yard box. And he doesn't have to think about it. Just gets a touch on in the back of the net and obviously then goes and gets a yellow card for taking his shirt off. But, the I suppose, the pride of putting that in the back of the net, the pressure of putting that in the back of the net, with all the speculation recently in recent days about Saudi Arabia leaving the club and all that. He's come up with a couple of goals which give him immense confidence, and I think give everybody within the squad the confidence that we can go on and do this.
How big a moment for the football club could that be? Because we're getting to the stage of the season now, people start to look at results, start to look at the league table with more close detail. It feels kind of significant, that result.
Well, I said that before the game. I thought I'd take a scruffy 1-0. It looked like it was going to be a scruffy 1-0, but it was a scruffy 2-0, if you like. We played some really good stuff at times. Brentford, credit to them, on the counter-attack with the pace they had, tried to suck us in. We had a lot of possession without really breaking them down. They caused us problems on the turnover. And I think Konate, Van Dijk were excellent today. They were one-on-one with players. They dealt with that, especially Konate in the second half. So all round, it's a good team performance. But when you get substitutions right, and I think great credit to Arne Slot again today, made those substitutions and it worked again, as it did against Forest, as it's done many times this season, and that just shows you the strength in depth we have. But getting Darwin fit, getting Jota back fit will be so important, because they're the ones who can score you the goals and can change the games for you. Curtis Jones coming on, getting in on the ball as well. You know, you have to say substitutions, Elliot with the pass for the second goal, I think it all looks well, but we just got to keep our feet on the ground, take each game as it comes. We've got a big Champions League game at home at Anfield, and then Ipswich at home in the Premier League. Two big games at home that we're expected to go out and win now.
Just finally, you touched on it a moment ago, but just the fact that this does now put pressure on Arsenal, who are still to play, the teams that come to play over the course of the weekend. That is a factor in a title race. It's putting pressure on your opponents, isn't it?
Well, it's the whole cliche, really, Mark, is that you can only take one game as it comes. I know people don't want to listen about that, but it is, when you're in this situation, it's take each game as it comes. But when you play the game in front of your rivals, it's imperative to get 3 points, as we've done here. And that puts the pressure on Arsenal now, at home to Villa. Then it puts the pressure on Man City, on Chelsea, who play on Monday night. They've got to pick up maximum points to keep putting pressure on us. We do have that game in hand, which is a massive game in hand against Everton, as we all know. But we're sitting top. Everybody's going to try and chase us down. Today was imperative, away from home here, that we've got 3 points.
It is only January. There are plenty of games still to go. Nigel's right, you do take each game as it comes, but it is worth noticing what that result meant to these players as they went off the field, the celebration that went on, the high fives, and also the embracing of Darwin Nunes. That could be a big result for the team and for him as well. We're going to stay down pitch side, get some reaction.
We enjoyed that, didn't we? A double delight for Darwin Nunes. 2 goals in 2 minutes, right at the death to hand Liverpool all 3 points in West London against Brentford. Arne Slot's subs in the end making all the difference. Harvey Elliott and Federico Chiesa too involved in the build-up. We waited a long time for that, Mel. So I think we've just about got our breath back. And I think you have to say that was deserved in the end for Liverpool.
Thoroughly deserved, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where we kept going. We're thinking, is it going to be one of those days? Is it going to be a case of missed opportunities? That little bit of quality that wasn't quite there, it needed it at the end. The defending from Brentford was incredible. Yeah. Yeah, they protected the box time and time again. If it wasn't the goalkeeper saving, it was a block. So to keep going to the end, that felt like a significant win. Mm. You know, a couple of draws against United, the draw against Forest, people were asking the questions, the lads kept going. And how often do we say it? Certainly when we won the title a few years ago, we found a way to win a football match there when a lot of people thought, might not. And that was brilliant. And the subs come on, Nunes, who has had a little bit of criticism for his lack of goals. The manager stuck by him, and I thought that was significant. That would have given him a lift going into that game. He doesn't score the second goal without the first goal. But he gets across the defender brilliantly for that first goal, and Trent gets the assist. That's a massive win. Brilliant.
It feels huge, doesn't it, Samir?
It is huge. It's a very well organised, as Mel said, Brentford side. We knew that was going to be the case, but they were persistent. He kept going, and he got the just rewards. And I think if that had happened against Forest, we couldn't complain.
No.
You know, because he did the same thing, apart from putting the ball in the back of the net. Darwin, and once again, the manager's made substitutions, and they've had a massive impact on the outcome of the game, which, again, we should keep on, as a manager, when you introduce subs, for them to come on, have that contribution, that impact, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, when you talk about Forest there, and it felt all the way through that second half, the last half an hour in Forest, didn't it, that moment was going to come, and it just didn't come, but tonight, thankfully, we got there in the end.
Yeah, yeah, but we had enough chances. Yeah, you think about the first half, we had chances, didn't take them again. Second half, putting ball after ball into the penalty area. Lost count of how many corners we had. Must have had 20 corners in the game. Yeah. And they defended the box. There was, Virgil was about 5 yards outside the box at times. They had 10, 11 players inside their own box. Defended the box really, really well. And that's credit to Brentford. Yeah. They had a little threat on the counter. Yeah. I think they had 4 or 5 minutes where you're thinking they might nick it themselves. They don't deserve this.
I'd have to say to you, we've mentioned this on a number of occasions now, the resilience out of that squad, absolutely fantastic. People start asking questions. Has there been a little bit of a stutter? They've come into today's game against, as I say, a very, very, very well-organised team. And, wow. You've got to give them so much credit for the resilience, the persistence, wanting the desire to win the game, go that extra yard. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it says a lot about, we talk about mentality all the time, don't we? But there's so many different ways to win a game, and sometimes you do have to have that perseverance to see it right through to the end.
Yeah, mentality, quality off the bench. You know, to come out with the right attitude. There's no one sulking coming off the bench. Nunes has come off the bench, he's got himself a goal. Harvey Elliott's come off the bench, got himself an assist. Curtis as well. They've all got themselves involved, and what I liked about it when Nunes scores,
the reaction.
Reaction. Yeah. It's in front of the away end, but it meant a lot to the team. Yeah.
You know, you see on the bench,
It's a big win. You know, 4 points, but ahead of Arsenal. Put the pressure now back on them. 7 points clear. Now let's see how they do against Aston Villa.
What a moment for him, though, as well, individually, because we're speaking about the team, but for Darwin, as Mel says, it's been a frustrating season at times, but to come on and have a huge impact like that will do his confidence the world.
It spoke volumes about what he means at the club, because, as you so rightly said, the reaction, not only from the supporters, but from the bench, they were so, so pleased, relieved as well, because you know, we've got the goal, which we make sure they don't again in midweek. But the joy that you're seeing with him scoring the goal, he's obviously a very popular character within the dressing room, and it was fantastic. And, you know, for me, it just shows you hard work pays off.
It's a goal that will be incredibly popular in that dressing room tonight, Miles, I imagine.
I think there'll be comparisons to Forrest last season. You know, when he scored that late goal again, it was one of those games where you're thinking, can we find a winner? Can we find enough? And at that time away at Forest, we were very much in the title race. And this one again, I think the key for me before the game was, let's get back to winning ways. You know, a couple of draws. Let's get back to winning ways, which is what we've done really well this season, whether it be the starters or players off the bench, which it proved to be in the case. And that will give everybody a lift. It will give everyone a lift, because everyone coming into the game was saying Brentford are decent at home. Brentford are really strong at home. They've seen City, who were 2-0 up during the week, come back and draw 2-2. And so they've picked up so many points. So that'll feel great for the lads after a tough away game at Forest as well before.
Yeah, momentum, as we always say, is so important. But listen, we're on the 18th of January. That's the first Premier League win of 2025, Sammy.
Yeah. But it's an important win as well.
Yeah.
It's really important win. I didn't realise it was the first. But, you know, that's what I was saying before. When you talk about, you know, how long this league is and how many games we've got to go. So for us to get our first win, and again, another difficult away ground to go to, I thought they were fantastic. I really do. From start to finish, we asked them to start on the front foot. They did, in my opinion. They started on the front foot.
Yeah.
So there's no talk about them being a second half team or you waiting to go a goal down. I thought they asked. And again, they were dangerous on the counter. Mm-hmm. They were dangerous. So, and we nullified that by our concentration, our focus, and our great defending.
Yeah, I think Brentford's so quick at getting everyone back behind the ball, which then, if you're Liverpool, you have to move the ball so quickly to counteract that, don't you?
I can't believe you're not mentioning clean sheet yet.
Hey,
you love the clean sheet.
Very unusual for you, that.
Listen, it's
probably not the big headline of the day, to be fair.
I say to you, you know, for me, clean sheets, and again, I don't want to bore your listeners or your viewers, but you can, if you keep that clean sheet, you can win any game, as Liverpool have proven today. I'll leave you to it.
Well, no, because we know the importance of it, and it feels good to get a clean sheet. Maybe that's been lacking a little bit in recent games. I think there was a couple of times when Brentford broke, and I think it was Szoboszlai and Trent on one occasion, getting back and stopping and Boomer.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I think Tsimikas did it once, Konate defended his box really well, and Van Dijk. So between everyone defensively, yes, they're a threat going forward. I think they protected Alisson really well. When was the chance second half where you thought, that was a big chance for Brentford? They got the areas a couple of times. Alisson made a couple of comfortable saves. Yeah. I thought the protection given by the defence was outstanding.
We spoke before the game, Mel, is the fact that when you lose the ball, you're all defenders. Yeah. Everyone has to defend. And today, as you say, I'm not saying they hadn't done in the past, but it was obvious today they defended as a whole team, which, as you so rightly mentioned before, tracking back from Trent and from Szoboszlai, clear and effective danger. I thought it was... I'm overjoyed with it.
I think we all are. Let's head to our Zoom panel, who I reckon are going to be overjoyed as well. Avinash, firstly, you are over in Bangalore. Just tell us your thoughts on that. It must be quite late where you are. You enjoy staying up for that one?
Yeah, we're at a screening right here. The place is bouncing, right? It's insane because of the way the game's gone. The first half was painful. The second half was, again, very difficult for us. And Brentford being amazing. But if we want to be champions, we got to get these wins. And it's amazing to see how we fight till 90 plus 7 or 5 or whatever added time is added on. But we're right there up until the end. And I think Slot has done wonders with the substitutions and also the strategy in the second half to attack Brentford. And it was an amazing watch. I mean, it was end-to-end at times. And Brentford gave us a couple of real scary moments, but overall really happy with the 3 points. And as Neil rightly said, it's back on Arsenal now against Villa. So amazing mood, and hoping to continue this momentum right for us through the season.
Avinash, thank you very much. Si Steers, we'll come to you now. You echo Avinash's thoughts, I imagine. You're happy with what you've seen this evening?
Yeah, really, really happy. Funnily enough, I was thinking it was it was going to be a very different conversation on this show, kind of coming into from a 0-0 draw to kind of winning it late 2-0. I don't think we can kind of underestimate how massive that result is. I think kind of when you're going for a title and those really tight games and you win them in the last couple of minutes, I think it just injects so much energy into the team. And I don't think we should underestimate what a confident Darwin Núñez can give us in the coming weeks as well. He's really, you know, he's been so unlucky this season, and I'm absolutely delighted for him. And I think that he's a real confidence player. And I think he'll take what's happened today and really, really push on. And with, you know, Diogo, you know, kind of struggling a little bit with injuries at the moment, we're going to really need Núñez. So all in all, I think it was the perfect game for us.
Besides, when we score so late, it gives them less chance to reply. You know, so I think it's a killer blow for them and a fantastic lift for us, you know. And as you so rightly said, I honestly believe that goals, you know, strikers, Mel's, you know, better than anybody. When you score goals, it builds your confidence no end. I don't think the guy suffers from a lack of confidence because he keeps on trying, keeps on working hard. And I just keep on saying, persistently working hard gets you rewards as we have done tonight, which I'm so pleased for the guy, so pleased, and for the team.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And just a proper question for Mel's, actually, just... like, as a striker, you know, how important is that, you know, kind of like, how important are those two goals for Darwin in terms of taking that on into the next few matches? I'm assuming, you know, like, we all know he's a confidence player, but I've got a feeling that might be the start of a little run for him now.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the big thing is there's going to be game time. You know, you think about how many games are coming up, and Jota's, we don't know when Jota's back in terms of that. Diaz has been down the middle. That's not his natural position. So Núñez is that natural player to play there. I thought a big significant thing for Núñez, and you may agree, you may not, the manager always backs him, and backs him publicly, because he hasn't been found in the back of the net. And before this game, he was quickly defending him, he's creating chances, he's got a goal in was it the cup tie? And so you're thinking, the manager's given him that confidence to say, you'll get the game time, and it'll turn.
He actually took the pressure away from him, because he said it was him who had now to improve him or develop him. So, as you saw rightly say, fantastic masterstroke by the manager, showing all the confidence in him. And as you were saying before, he's going to get game. But again, best forgive me, folks, I just love the fact that when they come off the bench, they're ready. They're ready to have a go. And I've got to be honest, I've been in football clubs, I've been on benches, I've been on pitches where that hasn't been the case. And I look at every time ours come on, they're ready to go and they're ready to have an impact, which, again, as I keep on saying to you, when you've got this many games and so many competitions, you need everybody to focus. And for me, they are.
You missed a big chance before it. If you remember that header, you're thinking...
Oh, yeah.
And then he blazed one over and you're thinking, a bit of frustration there, but he kept going and getting into them positions.
I'll bring in Dan Morgan on our fan panel to give us his thoughts on Darwin Núñez, because I think that's the thing, isn't it? Whether sometimes Darwin doesn't always get the end product away and get the goal, he's always a nuisance. He's a real thorn in the side to defenders, isn't he? What's your take on Darwin this season?
I think he's been incredibly selfless this season. I think playing number 9 for Liverpool under Arne Slot has been a different challenge to the players who played there. You know, I think they've had to at times be a bit more sort of defensive minded, the way they screen, often two defensive midfielders who are in the opposition. So when you look at Darwin's numbers, his defensive output's gone through the roof. And if you remember the back end of last season, there was that comment from Jürgen, wasn't there, where he said, you know, counter-pressing and pressing is the ticket into my team. And everyone thought at the time that was directed at Darwin to do a little bit more on that side of the game. So, you know, he sacrificed a hell of a lot, Becky. You know, for me, this is now at the point where there's a touch of the Divock about it. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's not damning anyone with frame praise. You know, if that's the role to play from now until the end of the season, coming on, getting goals like that, you know, making a huge impact on a game, then great. Because I think one of the things to take from the last two games in particular is Liverpool have gone up a gear after half time, and I think their opposition has massively gassed out. You know, I think it's probably really mentally tough to play against this Liverpool team. But I think what you've seen and what gives me a real sense of encouragement is Forest looked absolutely cooked after the break. And I thought on about 35 today, yeah, Brentford had those counters where they were dangerous, but I think you could see Liverpool just stepped on the gas a little bit, and I don't think they could handle it. And we look fit. That's the thing for me. We look fitter than the opposition at the minute, and there'll be opportunities there, especially for attackers who come into the game then later on.
Yeah, I think it's a great point.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say the
same.
That's
the point, you know, because, you know, for me, as you say, you're saying you look fitter, you know, and it was the resilience, the relentless attacking going at them, which wore Forest down, and it certainly wore Brentford down today. And I'm so pleased you said that they look fit, because there was a discussion beforehand about, someone mentioned the word tiredness. You know, and I tried to squash that right away, because for me, you know, with your January, you've got all these competitions, you know, and I just tend to think the work that must be going on at the Axe to keep these guys very focused, you know, not just physically but mentally. I have to say to you, kudos to everybody in the preparation of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what I was saying the other night, Sammy. After the game, we looked like a championship team. In that, when you watch City at the best over the years, when they almost put like a vice-like grip on the opponent, and they just can't get out. They can't get out. They're defending in a sort of 10 behind the ball, real low block, and they're just turning the screw constantly. And again, maybe this is the subtle changes that we're seeing under this coaching staff, that, you know, they're asking them to be a little bit more patient in and around the box. You know, they're asking them not to be as full throttle as maybe it was before. And at times I'm watching them and I'm saying, go on, get the ball in, you know, maybe have a pop, and they're moving it one more.
Yeah.
So, but it's paid off today, and you know, we'll have those tests again, so hopefully there's a bit of muscle memory there now.
Okay, thanks.
With Sammy, sort of mentally, do you think the message would have come from the manager? They had a big shift against City. They put a lot into that performance. They drew 2-2.
Yeah.
They've put all kinds in. I think one of the lads have mentioned it there, certainly first half. I just felt as though they were going to switch off at some point, because we kept going. And would that message have come from the bench?
Without a doubt.
You will get a chance.
Without a doubt.
So Nunes' goal, how many times did the cross come in and they cleared it? Nunes gets ahead of the defender. Maybe start of the second half, late on in the first half, the defender clears that. But we kept going, and maybe that tiredness crept in, switched off for that split second, and we punished them.
It's amazing, because we're talking about them having putting in a shift midweek. So did we. Against a very disciplined, hard-working, mean...
They're not used to it, though, are they? We're used to the Champions League games. We're used to those games.
There won't be many teams used to that kind of incessant pressure.
No.
You know, there won't be many teams. I have to say to you, you know, when they're constantly coming at you, it doesn't matter how well organised you are, as you so rightly say, the gap will appear at some point, and then we penetrate and punish. And that's what they've done today.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on Amazon Fire TV, Android TV and Roku TV as well. You can watch all the latest on-demand and live content too directly through your smart TV, whether that is full-match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details and get easy access to everything LFC. Now let's get back to the show. If feels like a massive win, but it does quieten that slight talk, doesn't it, of any slight issues given the results at the start of this year, 2025, and puts pay to that, and also makes other teams go, they really do mean business.
I think Arsenal, before their game, will be thinking, oh, they scored twice, yeah. Late. I think that'll deflate them. Yeah. So all of a sudden, Villa might start that game well, and they've got a chance there. Really significant, it really is. And what it does is it quietens down the noise, not around our football club, but in the media. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, Liverpool are having a wobble. And all of a sudden, the pressure starts building, and you don't want that noise, which will grow, media, social media, and all of a sudden the pressure starts to build, and 0-0 at home to Ipswich, you're thinking, will we get, and all of a sudden you start dropping points which you wouldn't have done. So that's massive, because all of a sudden the narrative changes to they've found a way to win a game which they probably
and win ugly
wouldn't have done
at times.
Win ugly.
You know, and you know, it's funny we're talking before, because you know the noise, whatever that noise may be, but you sense every time you listen to Arnie talk, he's totally focused on the job in hand. Yeah, you're going to be aware of the outside noise, but he's kept his staff and all the players totally focused on what they can control, not the other things that we can't control. And you know, in today's age, there's always going to be things coming at you. You're top of the league, you're top of the Champions League, you're there to be shot at. And you always talk about teams having a bit of a blip throughout the course of a 38 game season, right? Maybe Liverpool have just had ours, you know, and look where we are. You know?
If that's the blip, you'd take it really, wouldn't you?
And there's no reason why we should have a blip, but what I'm saying, people always talk about the blip. You know, you mentioned before, Beck, the fact that the noise that was starting to creep in, but hey, what an answer that is to that.
I think the difference this is, I don't know if you agree or not, is in previous seasons, it's felt like if you drop points, it's costly because of City, the way they've been. We've got a bit of a gap now, and that 7-point gap to Arsenal, 15 to City. Spackers has mentioned City there, not meant Forest. Forest aren't out of it at the moment. But at the moment, you're thinking, there's a bit of a gap where you're thinking, even if we dropped a few points, I don't see Arsenal putting the run which City have done in previous seasons. So it feels as though that is a big gap at this moment
in time. It's huge, because the psychology is as important as anything, isn't it?
Anything.
And you know, if that gap's still there in 6 weeks' time, you know, you get into March, you get into April, everyone's looking at that going, that's insurmountable now, really,
isn't
it?
Well, what are you starting to do now? You're getting less games then, Beck. Less games that they can you know, claw back, and the mathematics come into it then, you know, the fact that you can't take us when you get to a certain point. But again, let's look at the next one. As you say, we've got Lyon in midweek, and then we've got Ipswich next week. So, you know, again, without sounding crass or boring or coach speak, if you like, they'll enjoy that today, and now the preparation will be for the midweek game and then the Ipswich game.
Tell you what, when you look at the stats, there can be no doubting really that Liverpool deserve this. 37 shots away from home. That's got to be right up there with some of the all-time highest stats for shots away from home.
Amazing, because Brentford have a decent home record. We felt like we had a lot of shots and efforts second half against Forest as well. I think one criticism you could maybe say about our attack was we didn't test the goalie enough. You know, I felt as though there was a few moments, good chances, where a little bit wasteful. Few shots from distance, not on target. So out of them, what do you say, 37 shots? I reckon, I bet we've not had 10 on target out of them 37.
I can tell you, that is actually, with a little bit of research here, the most shots an away team has had in the Premier League since 2003-2004.
How many on target, 37?
Not far away, not far away.
How many on target of them 37?
It doesn't actually say here, but we'll find out.
The most important point is the two goals.
Yeah.
The two goals, that's the most important point. You know, we had an awful, don't forget, against Forest, the keeper was the man of the match.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we did something right then.
Yeah.
So today it was the two goals. Yeah, you know, I agree with, you know, however many shots, target, off target, two goals. Fantastic.
8 on target, I am told. There you go. I think as well, Nigel did pick up on it, but aside from Darwin Nunez, who will obviously get the headlines, a word for the defence, Virgil van Dijk was imperious. Brian Mbeumo, not the easiest to go up against, and he and Konate shackled him pretty well today, Miles.
Yeah, I think Brentford have been impressive, because they lost Ivan Toney, and you were thinking, well, they might struggle, but I think Visser, I think Mbeumo, I think have been absolutely outstanding, and they've given some of the best sides in the Premier League a real threat. And again today you're thinking, we have to keep that threat quiet. And Mbeumo, I think a couple of times early on he got down the right hand side. Tsimikas had an early yellow card, and you're thinking, that's a bit of a worry.
Yeah.
Managed that yellow card, protected him really well. I think the protection the goalkeeper was given this game was absolutely huge. Konate back fit, because we missed him for a number of games. Him and Van Dijk have been absolutely super. The way they dominate that penalty area has been superb. I thought Trent covered immensely well as well.
We alluded to that before, Beck, didn't we? The fact that, you know, Slobber's like tracking back to make important interceptions and tackles. So again, it was a, for me, it was a total team effort today. which was needed.
A 63rd Premier League assist for Trent Alexander-Arnold as well, which is quite a phenomenal number, Mels. Not that anyone would be surprised, I don't think.
No, and I think that's one of the things, you know, people... We love Trent. And the reason is, when he has the ball, he sees things all the players don't see. And he can put a ball somewhere where nobody can see. He has that in his locker to create chances. And I think he has a real special relationship with Mo Salah. You know, I do believe that. I think Salah's a better player when Trent's on the pitch. They'll have more chances between themselves. And again, I think his first cross was blocked, but then he puts it into an area which allows an attacking player to go and attack the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many chances he created today, but again, you always feel as though him on the ball will be able to create chances for us.
OK, we do have some reaction from the Liverpool dressing room at the GTEC. Harvey Elliott is speaking to Mark Benstead.
Harvey, very well done. Sum up the end to that game from the players' point of view.
You know, it was a tough game. I think we knew that as players, and, you know, whoever was watching the game could see that. But, you know, at the end of the day, the game's 90 minutes long, if not longer, and you need to keep going till the end. And, you know, I think that's what we've done as a collective and, you know, as a team, as a club. We kept fighting, kept trying to, you know, create and, you know, more importantly, put away the chances. But, you know, as long as that fight and desire was there, you know, it was always going to come, and luckily it came at the end.
Different players step up and deliver at different times of the season. Today it was Darwin who gets the important goals. Give us an idea of what he's like within the group and how popular a goal scorer he is. So there seems to be so much love for him, especially when that first goal goes in.
Yeah, you know, I think it just sums up this team. You know, everyone has so much love for one another. You know, we're not a team, we're a family, and whoever scores, you know, whoever's playing, whoever's not playing, you know, we're all together as one, and we want to do everything for the club. You know, we have high ambitions this season, and we all need to play a part. But, you know, as I said, whoever scores, you know, it's just an amazing feeling as a team, you know, celebrating with not only your teammates, but, you know, your friends, people that you're close with. You know, it's just great. Although we can't speak much English, you know, we try and have a laugh and a giggle with him, but, you know, he's a great guy, and yeah, his hunger and desire on the pitch is, you know, you can't fault him, as you can see each and every game.
I don't think I've seen a player with more enthusiasm and desire to do well than Darwin Núñez. Give us an idea what it was like in the middle of those celebrations for that first goal. He's got the shirt off, waving it around, the whole consumed by the moment. It must be incredible to be a part of that, so in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just thought, I already knew he was going to get a yellow card from taking a shirt off, so I didn't want him to do anything else and get a red card because we needed him. But, you know, it's just raw emotion, you know, especially in front of the away supporters as well. You know, there's no better feeling than, you know, scoring goals and winning games, you know, just to celebrate in front of our fans as well. It's just a moment, you know, you can't really describe.
You had a hand in his second goal. What a personal, how pleased to come on and make a contribution. We've seen that time and time again this season. Guys on the bench being brought on and impacting on games.
You know, as I said, it's a team game. You know, whether you're starting, whether you're on the bench, you need to be ready. You know, because a matter of fact, you don't know when you're going to be called upon. You know, it could be games, it could be each and every game, you could be starting. You know, we're aiming for, you know, high ambitions this season, and we need to do it all as a team. You know, it's just not 11 players constantly playing. Everyone needs to be involved, and, you know, as you said, so many people have influenced the game from the bench, and, you know, if they haven't played, and, you know, today's one of them games, Darwin comes on, you know, scores two, and, you know, it's a situation. I think it shows to everyone that no matter what, you need to be ready, because, you know, the chances will come, and, you know, you just need to take them like today.
Just finally, it is only January, there's a long, long way to go, but does this feel like the kind of result that could, come the end of the season, prove to be significant?
Yeah, absolutely, but I don't think we're looking that far ahead at the moment. We're just taking it game by game, and, you know, and just making sure we win. You know, it's more of a confidence booster for us now to go into the next game. And, you know, as I said, we're just keep taking it game by game, and hopefully getting points on the board. And then, you know, at the end of the season, we can look back and, you know, single out games like today where, you know, special moments happened. And, you know, we can reflect on it then. But you know, the job's nowhere near done. It's still very early. We just need to keep going and keep pushing, and you know, we'll review it at the end of the season.
Very well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good, buddy. Take care, mate. See you.
Lovely words from Harvey Elliott there. Not a team,
a family.
We're a family. I thought that really stood out there.
I've got a very, very mature interview there. Mm. Very mature, you know, and even saying about, you know, significance, but we'll, you know, we've got to do what we can do, and then we'll look back upon these moments, you know. And I just thought it was a very, very mature mature conversation. And again, he's come on and he's had a massive effect. So pleased for the kid.
I think if you listen to a lot of 21-year-olds in the Premier League, you'll think, oh, that's hard to listen to. He's 21.
Yeah.
That's how mature he is. He's intelligent as a person, as a football
player
as well.
Yeah.
He has an incredible brain. I think he'd have been frustrated not to have had the game time he's had this season. He comes off the bench with 10 minutes to go and be ready. He said
there, you want them to be frustrated, but you want them to react. And react in a positive way. And again, I repeat, I'm going back over old ground. What these guys seem to be doing, they come on with a positive attitude, not feeling sorry for themselves, and have an instant impact, which, you know, that is not easy to do. And again, all credit must be placed on the manager's shoulders and his coaching staff, because it's not an easy task to keep so many top pros happy, because they all want game time, they all want minutes.
It is a big thing, isn't it, mentality, because it's not just about that physical ability to come off the bench and contribute, but also to be in the right headspace and understand that the needs of a squad, and that you're not going to play every game, but when you do, you grasp your opportunity.
We're still in four trophies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games left to play. Everybody's going to have to play a part, and Harvey mentioned that. He knows the role at the moment. At the moment, he's off the bench in a couple of Premier League. He may be starting next week against Ipswich. So he's got to do the right things in training, prepare properly, because then that could be his time to be one of the main men. What I liked about the assist, the calmness.
Yeah.
It wasn't a case of panic.
The way to the pass.
Panicking. Yeah. The calmness to pick out the right option and not waste what was a promising counter-attack.
Welcome back. We are heading back down to the capital now. Arne Slot has been speaking to the media in his post-match press conference.
Arne, did you have any doubt on that the goal was coming?
If the goal was coming, if I had any doubt?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I had doubts about that, because it's before we scored the two goals, it felt as if I was looking at the same game again and again and again, and the same pattern arised. So I said it already a few times in other interviews, that against United everybody was focused on the Maguire chance, but the 7 minutes before we had three open chances. So many times in the recent weeks against Tottenham as well, we missed a lot of chances. Against Forest we missed a lot. So yeah, would have been a bit surprising if I felt, okay, after all these chances missed today, we will probably score in the last 5 minutes. But the players proved me wrong again.
On that, obviously, Darwin hasn't had one of his best seasons. I mean, what stands out for you about him with his perseverance or that kind of ability to keep going?
I think one of you asked me similar things before the game about Darwin, and I didn't agree then that he's not having a good season. I think he's having a very good. He's having a good season. He scores goals. He works very hard for the team. He assists, but he's in competition with a lot of good players. So that's why he's not every single game on the pitch. But I'm very happy with him, not only because he scored today two goals, that of course helps, but I'm very happy with the other performances he put in for us as well.
I take your point about Darwin, but I mean, I think the headline report this morning was 9 goals in 11 months. So obviously for strikers it is important to score.
Yeah.
And you said, I think, in your previous press conference about teams in low blocks, it's very difficult for him. It doesn't suit him. But those were two sort of poacher's goals today.
Poacher's goals?
Sort of in the penalty box.
Yeah, but The first one was a long build-up. The second one was a counter-attack. But he can, of course, score his goals against the low block, because he's a striker and he's a threat in crosses as well. Immediately after he came on, he had quite a good chance when Robbo crossed it in. But if it's about strikers or if it's about the team, if we would not have scored today in the last 5 minutes, then the headlines would have been Liverpool drops points again. And no one would have told you 37 shots on target. What a display. How many teams were able against Brentford to have 37 shots on target during a game? And now, because of our scoring too, probably there's a bit of emphasis on that fact as well. But so this is the industry we work in. as a manager, the team, the players, we all accept this and we all understand this, that there's a lot of focus on if it doesn't go well and on and not as much on the fact if you have a great performance. So it's, we are an industry where it's about winning and losing and not about if you play beautiful football, yes or no. People only enjoy good football, beautiful football, if you win. And otherwise, there's no focus at all on the performance.
Arnold, as you say, would have been another headline about dropping points, but you know, against United, because they played so well, you thought, okay, we'll take a point there. And then you go behind against Forest, you think, well, okay, we'll take a point there. But today would have felt much worse than that, would it not?
Again, you are talking about the result because I focus on my own team. So let's not focus on the teams we faced. But if you look at simple about amount of chances created, and I think you all are a bit aware of the XG. Is that something familiar for you? Now, do me a favor and look back at our United game and see what the XG of both teams were. And do this against Forest and do this today. Then you will probably see that there's nothing changed with us between now and the start of the season or the first half of the season. What you do see is that that it's at this moment of time a bit harder for us to convert our chances into goals. That's not only up to us, that's also because teams throw themselves in front of every ball. Every time we get a chance, so many of the other team try to prevent us from scoring, because they're always all of them are in a low block. So I have a different opinion than you about our current performances, but we have the same opinion about our results. That is
what I meant was though, because it would have been a third in a row, and against a team who aren't traditionally one of the strongest teams in the Premier League.
No, but a very difficult away game to play at. But sorry, continue your question.
I was saying, a third one in a row, 6 points dropped out of nine, that would have... It would have felt like a real momentum loss.
Yeah, because we are an industry that is only talking about results. But I think me as a manager would have felt that we crumbled, because I heard that word just a second ago, so now I'm trying to use it without exactly knowing what it means. But I think it means that we go down a bit. As a manager, I've told the players during this week again, I couldn't have asked for more in the Forest game. Only one counter-attack conceded and so many chances created against a team that hardly ever concedes any chance at all in their game. Brentford has never faced this season, I'm 99.9% sure of that, 37 shots in a game. So what can I ask more of our players? I saw today that Brentford were more of a threat in the counter-attack than Forest were. That be clear. But that has also to do with a lot of credits you have to give to Brentford, because I saw their game on Tuesday where it was a completely equal game. Both teams had numerous chances. And they came back after 2-0 behind. So we knew how hard it was to play. We knew how hard it was to play at Forest. And we knew how difficult it is to play against such a low block as United played against us and later on against Arsenal. So, second half of the season always more difficult to win. But I cannot ask more from these players. They give everything they have.
Interesting take from Arne Slot there. As long as they get it across the line at some point, Mels, that's all that matters. And there's been very few games this season where they've not done that.
Yeah, who cares if we have two or 37 shots? We've won the game, yeah. And the persistence was there. I think it's a positive to create so many chances away from home. And again, second half against Forest, we had a lot of chances. And if you looked at the bench today, you thought, got players who can change the game, come off the bench and have been needed to get the winning goal. I think we're going to have to hope that we're lucky with injuries. Jota and Gomez are the two that stand out at the moment. You know, you're hoping that list doesn't increase too much, because there's a lot of games to play. And he may have to turn to the bench again for certain games. Bournemouth away next Premier League game. That might be a case of looking at the bench, can you go on and win the game for me again?
That's the thing, isn't it? It's not just bodies on the bench and in the squad. It's game changers, and Liverpool have got plenty of those.
Without a doubt, and that's down to attitude. Down to attitude. You mentioned there before as well, the mere fact that he was impressed with people tracking back, making defensive tackles, and that doesn't come easy. You have to work hard at that, both in terms of fitness and in terms of organisation. And I have to say to you, I think he got everything right there today. Everything right. His selection, his subs. You know, if they hadn't won today, the same thing would have been having a goal for saying, well, you know, you 37 shots and you've not scored one, blah, 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 you know. But, you know, he was able to tell us it, but because we won, doesn't mean that much difference. You say 37 shots, as long as two go in and you score two more than the opposition.
And they did today, thankfully. We're coming to the end of the show. Just time to squeeze in a little chat about the Reds' next game, which, of course, is Lille at Anfield on Tuesday night in the Champions League. Let's go back to our Zoom panel for this one. Si Steers, are you heading to Anfield on Tuesday, firstly? And secondly, you must be pretty pleased with how the Champions League table looks at the moment.
No, I can't make it on Tuesday, but my some of my fellow Reds will be there. I think the Champions League's just been a fantastic experience for us so far, and we're in a really great place. And I think, you know, what Mels was saying a minute ago about injuries, I think that might be able to factor into Arda's team selection against Lille. Hopefully, we can play some. You know, some of the younger players and rest some of our big guns, because I think we're almost over the line now. So, my mind's already kind of like beyond Lille into what's next in the Champions League. But, hopefully we can get a result and rest some players at the same time.
It won't be too easy, though, will it, Dan? We'll come to you, Dan Morgan, because Lille doing pretty well in Ligue 1 in France and also in the Champions League. Only beaten once, and that was on match day one against Sporting. Since claimed four wins and a draw, beaten Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid as well. So a fairly tough night might lie in store here. They do need a result to secure their qualification, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think Liverpool will treat it with the respect it deserves. I think they'll go strong. I think they'll want to keep momentum in legs and keep that rhythm. I think what the point buffer that we've given ourselves does with the Champions League is it maybe allows us to make some changes in game. You know, you wouldn't be surprised if maybe we've done a couple at half time if it's going well. I think the manager has gone heavy in terms of prioritising Champions League points early for this very reason. We know that, you know, we've got some really tough league fixtures coming up, especially away from home. We've got that semi-final against Spurs to come back into the equation too. So, yeah, it'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough night. And it's another one for Liverpool to rid some of the things that are there that you can see, you know, in the displays. You know, that there is a couple of things that need ironing out there. I think they can be a little bit more combative in the duels. You know, I think there's a couple of times where you're feeling like players are coming through some 50-50s, or not even 50-50s really. They're coming through tackles and it's a little bit too easy in that sense. And you know, I think a lot of it is just rhythm. I think the rhythm's been disrupted quite a bit. So I think the manager will want to keep them in that 2-game-a-week rhythm, but he'll be wanting to look after them the way he has done all season too.
Yeah, and build on the momentum, obviously, gleaned from today. Avinash, for those of you who missed you at the top of the show, you are joining us from Bangalore, the official Liverpool supporters club over there. So I shudder to think what time you might be watching this match on Tuesday night, but you're looking forward to it. And team-wise, what would you like to see from Arne Slot on Tuesday?
So yeah, definitely want to see some of the young guns getting a run out, right? So we've been doing really well. Overall as a squad, so it's a great opportunity for, say, a Bradley to come in to rest some of our midfielders who've been playing a lot, and maybe even rest Virgil a little bit more, right? But I think it's Anfield, so it's going to be buzzing. It's a Champions League night, so I'm sure Arne will factor that in and choose the best squad that can go out there and win the game for us, because it's all about momentum, because we are going to have probably two games a week until the end of the season, so there's no time to slow down. We have to make use of our entire squad. So probably Chiesa on the back of his goal gets a run out, Nunez on the back of his goal gets a run out, starts the game, and then we rotate to make sure that we have the whole squad ready and firing on all cylinders till the end of the season. I think that's what I'm hoping to see against Liz.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. That is us done from today's episode of The Reaction. We will be back with more analysis and interviews, though, after our first Champions League game of 2025 on Tuesday as Lille travel to Anfield. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.